Today we're going to close out our message series entitled Hymns. And the hymn that we're going to reflect upon today is the one that is called Nearer God to Thee. Nearer God to Thee. John chapter 8 verse 31 says this, "Then Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. For when the enemy speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." Can I get an amen from somebody this morning? Today, as we explore the significance of that old sacred hymn entitled Nearer God to Thee, I also need to invite you to take a look at an event of great historical significance with me, the sinking of the Titanic. And today as this is unpacked and as it unfolds, you'll find we're going to spend a lot more time focusing on what happened surrounding the Titanic than we are in regards to this hymn and its author and the testimony surrounding how it was written. And I think by the time we reach the conclusion, you'll see why. Father, I ask you to help me to teach, help me to preach, help me to share in such a way that your gospel is clear. And so, Lord, today, I pray that you would provoke each of us to that next step in you. Lord, let it be done in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen. I suppose if I were to take a specific title this morning, it might be Titanic Truths. And what I mean by that is that I believe that a Titanic truth is equal to sinking thinking. Sinking thinking. We all know that the Titanic sunk. There's been different times in history and even modern times where that it seems like the Titanic has gained more notoriety. There will be times where maybe Hollywood will release a film and you'll just see the things surrounding the Titanic everywhere. Or maybe there'll be some type of an excursion or adventure, people trying to explore the ruins of the Titanic, and all of a sudden it'll begin to make news again. This morning, what I want to share with you are some things that I've been able to pull from the historical events surrounding the Titanic that I think require us to take a look at our own lives, especially when we realize that the devil is the father of lies. And so when you think about the Titanic took thousands of men more than 2 years to build. Thousands of men, more than 2 years to build. At the time it was completed, it was an absolute engineering marvel in that time period. However, when it set sail, there are several amazing coincidences that if any of them had happened differently, the Titanic probably would not have sunk. For instance, if the Titanic had been traveling 1 mile per hour faster or 1 mile per hour slower, it would have missed the iceberg because the iceberg would have been in a totally different position. If the Titanic had arrived at the side of the iceberg 10 seconds sooner, it would have missed it. If it would have arrived 10 seconds later, it would have hit the iceberg head on and likely the ship would not have begun to sink. Interestingly, with the Titanic, it would hold 3,000 people, but they actually only had lifeboats for 1,178 people. And perhaps we'll talk more about that in a moment. But as I've already said this morning, like if I were to take a title, it's probably Titanic Truths. And I've told you that in my mind, Titanic Truths equals sinking thinking. But yet, even further stated, like what is a Titanic Truth? And maybe the best way I can explain that to you is this. A Titanic truth is a lie that poses as truth. A lie that poses as truth. And we know that the enemy is constantly trying to deceive us and trying to lie to us and try to get us to believe something that's not true, because ultimately the enemy wants to sink us in our eternity. And so surrounding the Titanic, there was one lady who was boarding, and she communicated that she would like to buy some extra insurance. She had a lot of valuables in her luggage. However, when she stopped by the ship's agent, this is what he said to her: "Ridiculous. This boat is unsinkable." for the captain himself, Captain Smith, who was the leader of the Titanic and its sailing. He was asked about the safety of the ship, and he answered, he said, "I cannot imagine any condition which would cause this ship to founder. I cannot conceive of any vital disaster happening to this vessel. Modern shipbuilding has gone beyond that." And maybe one of the most famous quotes that surrounds the Titanic and it being pushed off from harbor was a conversation between a passenger and a dockhand that was overheard. The passenger asked, "Is this ship really unsinkable?" To which the dockhand replied, "Lady, even God himself couldn't sink this ship." Can't help but to think of Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18, which says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." But it also reminds me of Deuteronomy chapter 8, especially when you consider so many of the things that surround the Titanic. And I believe that you'll see that this verse carries weight as well. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 says this, "Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today." This is Moses speaking to the people coming out of Egyptian bondage. He says, "Lest when you have eaten and you are full and you've built beautiful houses and you dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, brought you out of bondage, then you will say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth." What Moses is cautioning those people about is make sure you don't ever believe the lie that what you have in life is a result of your own might or your own power. He's challenging them to always be of the mentality that it is God and God alone that has allowed you to be and become who it is that you are. The fact that you have breath in your lungs is a direct result of God's providence and sovereignty. And yet John chapter 8 verse 44 vividly reminds us that the devil is the father of lies. And so this morning as we reflect back upon some of these things that stick out from the story of the Titanic, like I can't help but to wonder, like, are there those of us that have settled for sinking thinking? Are there those of us that are believing Titanic truths? For instance, it's possible that some of us could believe what the people of the Titanic believed when it comes to sinking thinking. We could believe that it can never happen to me. So many people on the Titanic believe it can never happen to me. Did you know that in the crow's nest of the Titanic, there were no lookout glasses? Because they were of the opinion, it can never happen to me. Some would say that there were lookout glasses somewhere on the ship, but they never even went to the effort of taking them to the crow's nest because they thought it can never happen to me. It is said that many of the people that died actually were still wearing their party clothes at the time that the waters overwhelmed them. They were just having a good time. They were partying. They were going through the motions, but they were of the opinion, it can never happen to me. Even when the Titanic hit the iceberg at midnight and later the ship would begin to sink at 2:20 a.m., there were people who just remained in their party clothes because they were of the opinion, it can never happen to me. And yet the Bible gives us this truth to expose that lie of the enemy. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." The people who were building the ship, who were building the Titanic, they were approached and they were told, "Perhaps you should consider more lifeboats. After all, this ship will hold 3,000 people, but you only have enough lifeboats for 1,178 people. The shipbuilders responded that it was absolutely a ridiculous thought that this boat was unsinkable. There was no reason to put more money into lifeboats. The Titanic received 6 warning messages. 6 different boats that were traveling in their area reached out to them and said, "There are icebergs. You should proceed with caution. Be careful." However, the Titanic ignored every single one of those warning messages. It was later said that even if they would have just went to their map and have charted each of these warning messages, they would have been able to see that there was an iceberg that was in their path, but they didn't chart a single one of those messages. Why? Because they were of the opinion, it can never happen to me. It makes me think about this truth from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says, those who do not know God and do not obey the good news will be punished with eternal destruction, forever separated from the Lord. What that verse is saying is that you receive the news. You receive the warning. You find out that there's a way to escape eternal destruction. But you have to chart the course according to the news that you're receiving. Otherwise, the warning is in vain. The people of the Titanic, they also believed money solves all problems. Perhaps you've thought along those same lines. Man, if I just had more money, I could fix my issues and I could solve my problems. But yet the Bible exposes that Titanic truth as a lie. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul said, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides for us everything for our enjoyment. The writer of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5 said, as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return, to go as he came, and he shall take nothing from his labor, which he can carry to heaven in his hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11 continues, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor the riches to the men of understanding, nor favor to the men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. When it comes to the Titanic, the first class accommodations rivaled the finest hotels that would be on shore. The dining room at that time could seat over 500 people, which was unheard of for a ship in that hour. The grand staircase was extravagant and handmade, and it ascended four decks. They say that the price of the finest suites on the Titanic would cost over $80,000 in today's money to be a part of that voyage. And the ship hosted the world's greatest millionaires. And I'm sure that many of them thought that money had solved their problems. But the truth of it is, they found out that time and chance happens to everybody. I can't help but to also think about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16. He said that, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? In this vein of sinking thinking, and things that the people of the Titanic believe that so many of us fall for, sinking thinking is to say, I am not sinking. There are some conversations that are historically recorded and being associated with the sinking of the Titanic that are absolutely mind-blowing. For instance, there was an employer and his employee. The passenger asked her employer, he said, if we should do something about the fact that it seems that we've just hit an iceberg. And he replied, go back to bed. This ship is unsinkable. As they have already struck the iceberg. I'm not sinking. A passenger expressed concern to another passenger, to which it was replied, you cannot sink this boat. Go back to bed. Another, the vice president of the company, when early reports about the tragedy began to gradually reach America, Philip Franklin, who was the vice president of White Star Line in New York, which was in charge of the Titanic, he responded, we place absolute confidence in the Titanic. We believe that that boat is unsinkable. It is said that there were many people that even were on exercise bikes, stationary exercise bikes, just continuing to exercise as the ship was going down, because they continued to believe, I am not sinking. It's amazing how the enemy can get us to believe that lie, that that he'll convince us that an addiction is not destroying our life. He'll convince us that our behavior and our attitude is not destroying a valuable relationship. He'll convince us that our debt, as we continue to go further and further in, is not going to lead to some kind of demise. I'm not sinking. Another type of sinking thinking that the people of the Titanic believe that maybe we fall for. It's not that big of a deal. I've talked to so many people who have battled with habits, and they communicate that the first time they ever did something, they never dreamed that 25 years later, that thing would have cost them as much as it has. Because they just kind of thought, well, it's not that big of a deal. I've talked to people who's on the other side of divorce and said, well, you know, we just started exchanging DMs. It was an old friend from high school, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal. Young people who are convinced by the enemy to step into things that seem like not that big of a deal. You think about an iceberg, it only reveals 1/10 of itself above the water. 90% is hidden from the natural eye. You think about an iceberg. Even the one that brought down the Titanic, by the standards of that ship and icebergs in general, it actually wasn't even that big. In fact, to the natural eye, it didn't look that big at all because it was what they call a blackberg, not an iceberg, which means that the ice wasn't white like you typically would see, but it was actually black where the ice had kind of melted and it would refreeze, and it's almost like the concept of black ice on a road. It didn't look like it was that big of a deal, and yet it brought down the greatest engineering marvel of that time. The enemy is the father of lies. You think about sinking thinking. Something that the people of the Titanic believe that maybe the enemy deceives some of us with is, I don't need help. I look back over my life and I remember a time where one of my best friends began to really struggle with something. And I went to him and I'm like, man, how can I help? And he's like, man, I got this. I don't need help. Years later, still struggling with that same thing, he continued to say, I don't need help. You know, they say that one of the keys to breaking free from any kind of bondage is to first recognize that you have a problem. You got to be careful with that lie of, I don't need help. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, there's a truth that exposes that lie. It says, therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. I want to share the story with you of a man named John Harper. I want to tell you the truth. If I had lived John Harper's life, I doubt that I would have ever went near the water again, much less have been on the Titanic sailing across a great sea. John Harper, at the age of 2.5 years old, fell into a water well. He nearly drowned. He was rescued at the last moment, and his mother resuscitated him. At 26 years old, he was just swimming on a seashore when he was caught by a riptide, and he was pulled by this reverse current, and only at the last minute was he saved and able to survive. At the age of 32, he was on another boat, a ship in the Mediterranean Sea, and that ship began to leak. It began to take on water. It was sinking, and he was rescued just before drowning. Now, if those things had happened to you or I, it's likely that maybe we never go near the water again. But John Harper continued to go near the water. Some would say that he believed as though God was preparing him for something. When the Titanic began to sink, and it was obvious that it was going to go down, he grabbed his 6-year-old daughter, who meant the world to him. He was a widower. His wife had passed away. He ran with his daughter to a lifeboat. He put her in. Some would say that because he was a widower, people would have not looked bad upon him if he had gotten in a lifeboat himself. But instead, he places his daughter in, he kisses her, and he tells her, "I'll see you again." He then began to help bring order to the chaos. So he began to yell, "Women and children first! Women and children first!" Eventually, the ship breaks in half, at which point it begins to force people overboard into the icy waters. John Harper was able to secure for himself a life vest. People who survived said that they saw him swimming over to people who were adrift and hanging on to pieces of the shipwreck. He would swim over and he would begin to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to them and try to lead them to an experience with the Lord. It is said that he led many to Jesus in those frigid waters. Eventually, he arrives at one young man. And as he attempts to communicate to this young man the gospel, the young man is resistant. He refuses. It's almost as though he's saying, "I don't need help with my eternity." And then John Harper realizes he's not going to be able to convince this young man to accept Jesus. He takes off his life vest. He gives it to the young man. And he says, "Then you're going to need this worse than I do." At which point, John Harper swims away. Eventually, the hypothermia overwhelms him and he dies. It is said that his last words as he was going down were, "Repent and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ." This story was told at a survivors meeting 5 years after the sinking of the Titanic by the young man who received the life vest and later gave his life to Jesus Christ. There's one final element of sinking thinking. One final Titanic truth that we have to address. Something that the people of the Titanic believe that perhaps the enemy has deceived you with as well. "I'm sinking, but there's nothing I can do." That is a lie from hell. Because we serve a Savior who will always be able to reach further down than you will be able to reach up. It is ironic to me that Titanic passengers testified that there were people who died because they were convinced that there was nothing that could be done to save them. As long as Jesus Christ is involved, there is no such thing as false hope. But I want to share just a couple more things with you. As the Titanic was sinking, it is said that there was another ship that could be seen in the horizon. Both survivors of the Titanic and later people of that ship would testify that they were in view of one another. This other ship was called the Californian, and its captain was asleep. And when the Titanic began to set off rockets and announce that something is bad wrong, the crew of the Californian went to their captain who was asleep and tried to awake him and said, "There's something wrong." And he continued to tell them to go away. He was resting. The Californian was never able to hear any radio message from the Titanic because they had their radios off. And so just on the horizon of this horrific tragedy was a ship that did nothing to save these dying people. While on the other hand, there is the story of the Carpathia. And as the Titanic was sinking, her wireless operators tried to heroically send out messages. The Carpathia received this message from the Titanic: "SOS, SOS, come at once. We have struck a berg." The Carpathia was 58 miles away. Over 4 hours away. Upon receiving this message, they went to the captain of the Carpathia. They awakened him, at which point he immediately said, send back this message. All right, tell him we're coming as fast as we can. He then called all hands on deck. He put as many as he possibly could in the engine room. He said that everything that would absorb power from the ship was to be turned off. The maximum speed of the Carpathia was 14 knots. But because of the action of this captain, they were able to increase to 14 knots, to 15 knots, to 16 knots, to 17 knots. And they arrived there far ahead of what they would have typically have been able to do. And that night, even though 1,500 people died because they couldn't get in lifeboats, there were 700 people that were saved, all of them by the Carpathia. No other ship arrived in time. I think that that gives us the example of how a church will or will not respond. You can be a congregation of people like the Californian who just kind of hang out on the horizon and say, well, people are going to believe what they believe and people are going to do what they're going to do, and there's really nothing I can do about it. Don't bother me. I'm just going to kind of go on through life and perhaps even sleep my way through tragedy after tragedy. Or you can take on the attitude of the Carpathia, which says we're going to call all hands on deck. We're going to get everybody in the engine room, and we're going to do everything that we can to save as many people as we possibly can before it's too late. And I want you to understand that the mentality of Three Trees Church is to seek and to save the lost. And it's all hands on deck, and we fully intend to plunder hell and populate heaven because everyone needs Jesus. And so this morning, I remind you that don't settle for allowing the enemy to deceive you. This message is being shared with you for a purpose. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, it tells us we're all in the water. All of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But thankfully, God treats us much better than we deserve. And because of Christ Jesus, he freely accepts us and sets us free from our sins. Thank God for Jesus. Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus came to the earth to seek and to save the lost. And he showed by his life the care for the lost that we should have. Here's the thing I want you to understand this morning. The Titanic received 6 warning messages. And it ignored every single one of them. This morning, I have shared with you 6 ways that the enemy deceives people. What will you do with those warning messages? So this morning, you're saying, well, preacher, I thought we were going to talk about hymns. Well, the hymn that we mentioned at the start, Nearer God to Thee, it holds significance in the sinking of the Titanic. Because as that ship was going down, there were a group of violinists that were ordered to begin to play that hymn. I'm going to ask them if they would now to play. The point was to try to help all to understand. Very possibly you're going to meet God in eternity very soon. And it's important that you draw near to Him through salvation in this very moment. The enemy has a way of lulling us to sleep in his deception. And so this morning, I'm going to invite you to pray with me and to contemplate the fact that Jesus Christ is the ultimate Savior. And that when you feel like that you're sinking, there's the opportunity to lift a hand and surrender, a heart connected to it, and communicate, Jesus Christ, I need to be saved. I need to be saved from heaven's wrath against sin. Father, we bow before you in heart and mind today. And Lord, we ask that we would be able to draw near to you through the amazingness of grace. That the blood that has been shed by our Savior Jesus Christ, now God, we ask you that it would be applied to our life. Lord, there are people under the sound of my voice that right now they need to rededicate their life. But God, there are also people that have never known you. They find themselves right now very far from you. And God, whether they be in this auditorium or they be in church online, I pray that they would shake themselves loose from the deception of the enemy and that, God, they would receive the gospel, the good news that you are offering. That it would help them then, God, to plot a navigational course for their life that avoids the sinking icebergs of eternity. That, God, they would come to know what it is to be rescued and saved by you. God, before this day is out, give them the courage to tell somebody somewhere, I've surrendered my life to Jesus. I'm going to serve him all the days of my life. And Lord, make them a great disciple for your cause. Let it be done in Jesus' name. And this church said, amen.